the pleasant and positive thoughts, replacing them with negative and damaging thoughts. Let me repeat that to you. Worry will erode the pleasant and positive thoughts, replacing them with negative and damaging thoughts. Now, here's some statistics I read about fog the other day. A dense fog covering 7 city blocks, 100 feet deep, contains less than 1 full glass of water. So worry is much like a fog. There's not as much in it as you thought, but it causes your perspective to be clouded. It makes you difficult to maneuver the roads of life and slows you down in getting where you want to go. Worry also affects our health. It produces high blood pressure, heart disease, headaches, nausea, insomnia, and lack of energy. Worry disrupts our productivity and can destroy our careers. When that happens, there's financial crisis, financial stress, which is considered the number one reason for marital breakups. So obviously, worry strains relationships. Worry strains relationships. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says this: worry weighs a person down, and an encouraging word cheers a person up. 1 Peter 5:7 says this: give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Anxiety is a direct attack from Satan, and it can end up paralyzing you in your pursuit of becoming an effective Christian. A study about worry discovered that 40% of worries are about things that never happen. 30% are about past things or things that cannot be changed. 22% over petty, needless things. And only 8% were legitimate concerns. That's something. Listen to this. A mouse living in a cage with a wheel will travel 9,000 miles in his lifetime, but he's still in a cage. Worry is much the same. You can worry 24/7, and guess what? You've not gone anywhere. You've not accomplished anything. And folks, so far this morning, it sounds like bad news. But I guarantee you, I came to give you some good news today. Amen. Amen. Understand this: whatever has you stressed, worried, or anxious, God is still on the throne. Amen. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne.
Hallelujah.
Now, I just love this story from the scripture text this morning. It's an excellent example of how we respond to situations, circumstances in our lives, and then how God sees them. He sees them different than we do.
Yes.
Would you agree with me that people appear more stressed out today than before? Despite the stress factors we face on a daily basis, God has a plan to help us deal with our anxiety through a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. What a promise. Peace that passes all understanding. What a promise. Are you interested in that this morning?
Yes.
In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. The most important truth for us to recognize here is that Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. Now hear me, saints, when Jesus is in the boat with you, it doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what comes your way. Now, storms are not an unusual experience, especially for a fisherman. Yet this storm had them worried, had them fretting. They were concerned. How many will admit that we have a way of making the storms we face seem worse than they really are? In fact, the storm that you're going through right now seems worse than the last one, doesn't it? Amen. But for the disciples, this happens to be the best place for them. Not because they're in a storm, not because it's a terrible storm, not because their lives are at stake, but because of who is in the boat with them.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Look what God's word declares. 1 John 4:4. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Jesus was in their boat. Jesus was in their boat, and Jesus is in your boat this morning. Amen. Amen. Just because you and I are Christians doesn't guarantee that we will be without problems. It doesn't guarantee that we'll never have any concerns. Psalm 34, verse 19, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time.
Amen.
Each time. Say that with me. Each time. Amen. Amen. Even though Jesus was in their boat, it didn't exempt them from the storm. It didn't. And please receive this word today. It's a vital truth that's essential for you to grab hold of. Jesus is ready and willing to deliver you, to set you free, to come to your aid in every storm that you encounter.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 37 and verse 25 says, once I was young and now I'm old, yet have I never seen the godly abandoned or seen their children begging for bread. Are you a child of God?
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Father's promised to care for His children. He will not forsake you, abandon you, or leave you comfortless. Matthew 7:11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Being in the boat is an expression used to show how Jesus resides in your heart, how He's active in your life, how He directs your steps, how He stands ready to assist you at every turn. He's there. He's in the boat with you. Do you suppose that Jesus knew the storm was going to come? Of course He did. Of course He did. Then why did Jesus allow them to go through that storm with Him in that boat? Let's look at the response that Jesus made when the disciples woke Him. Verse 26, He says, why are you afraid? You of so little faith. Why are you afraid? You of so little faith. Jesus wanted His followers to stretch their faith.
Amen.
To stretch it. He was more than able and willing and indeed did save them, but He wanted them to learn a lesson in faith. The Master didn't rebuke His disciples for disturbing Him, amen, but He rebuked them for their fear. What was the cause of their fear? Lack of faith. Lack of faith. Faith and fear are exact opposites. It's impossible to have both at the same time. But listen, here's the good news. Faith cancels fear out. Faith cancels fear out. Glory, hallelujah. Faith cancels fear out. Faith allows us to see through the storm to the other side, to the greater purpose that lies ahead. Fear and stress that causes our fear results in us focusing entirely on the present problem. Isn't that the enemy's plan? To get our eyes off the circumstance, on the circumstance and off of Jesus? Isn't that his plan? Amen. When we do that, the enemy will defeat us. Hear me this morning. When Jesus is in your boat, regardless if you're in a storm or not, you are right where you need to be. You're right where you need to be. Say with me, don't worry, be happy. Jesus is in my boat. Now say this, don't worry, be happy. Jesus is in my boat. Now look at your neighbor, and I want you to say that to your neighbor. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. You talk about the peace that passes all understanding. Wow. Verse 25, the disciples went and woke him up, shouted, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Imagine the waves so fierce that the boat is tossed in different directions with the waves crashing over the side. It's a dangerous situation. And the disciples began to fear for their lives. Of course, storms were a common occurrence. Certainly the men had encountered them before. Nothing new. So let me ask you, have you ever met the type of person whose problems are always bigger, badder, worse, more severe than anything you've ever heard before? Oh, yeah. When adversity comes their way, these folks believe they are the only ones in the world with a problem. But folks, we all have problems, but I assure you, God has the solutions. Amen. 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 Now, let me give you some advice from the scripture on how to respond to your storm. First of all, we should have joy in adversity. We should have joy in your storm. We should have joy in your adversity. James 1, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Amen. Great joy.
Hallelujah.
Y'all didn't know that scripture was going on, did you?
Glory, hallelujah.
When the problems come, I just, oh, no, it's an opportunity for great joy.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I must be honest, that's not my normal response. And I believe it's not your normal response either. Amen. When I do allow joy to come into the situation, I know I'm dependent upon God. You see, the disciples were in the midst of a natural occurrence that was met with a supernatural response. Brother and sister, God desires to intervene in your life in a supernatural way. Amen. He's waiting to intervene with a supernatural deliverance. Supernatural. You can't do it.
Right.
Only God can do it. Amen. Secondly, we should give thanksgiving in our sufferings. Jerry, you've gone off to the deep end.
That's okay. We'll jump in with you.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Thanksgiving along with joy are both supernatural responses to the stressful trials and difficulties of life. In the natural, it doesn't really make sense. It's certainly not our natural inclination. Yet the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. The Spirit of God moves as we praise and give thanks, resulting in his supernatural intervention. Praise and worship and giving thanks also reminds us of God's past faithfulness.
Yes.
And remember, his faithfulness endures forever.
Hallelujah.
Finally, don't worry. Jesus has all authority. Jesus has all authority. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up, rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Jesus wakes up from his nap and he speaks. He rebukes the wind and the waves, and suddenly the sea becomes calm. Suddenly. Suddenly. Notice something important here. Jesus always brings peace. When God's in it, there's peace, folks. Not any turmoil. When God's in it, there's peace. Jesus took authority over the situation. The elements belonged, obeyed his command. I'm sure these men were rejoicing and marveling at the power of God. Didn't they say, "Who is this guy?" They were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and waves obey him." "Who is this man?" "He's in a boat with you." I have some good news about your storm. Not only does Jesus have authority, but you have authority.
Yes, amen.
You have authority. Let me explain that. First of all, Jesus gave us a comforter. John 16, verse 5 through 7. "But now I'm going away to the one who sent me. Not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you." Verse 7, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." Jesus knew it was best for him to leave, because then the Comforter would come, bringing the power of the Holy Spirit right along with him. Amen? It would be the power of the Holy Spirit that would equip us to overcome the trials and adversities of the world. Amen. Every one of them. So no way can we respond to natural circumstances in a supernatural way without the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Secondly, Jesus gave you a command to prove your authority. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, he said, "These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages." Verse 18, "They'll be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." Today you are empowered through the Holy Spirit, indeed are commissioned to be an overcomer. Jesus possesses all authority in heaven and earth, and saints, he's passed that authority on to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You are no longer cowered in defeat because God Almighty has given you supernatural power and has commissioned you to use that power in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Not your name, Jesus' name. Amen. God declares that you are an overcomer and no need to worry, you will overcome. Whatever the situation is, no need to worry, you will overcome. You will overcome. You have the upper hand. You can fight back and you win. You win. You win. Too often we allow our thoughts and emotions to control us, and they also define us. How about this little remedy? Yesterday I let my thoughts push me around, but today I push my thoughts around.
Amen.
Abraham Lincoln once said, "I've been about as happy as I've made up my mind to be." Isaiah 26 verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you.
Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs
chapter 4 and verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So God gave you the Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he gave you authority.
Amen.
Finally, you must be in right relationship with God to have authority. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The word guard there is a military term, like guarding a city or keeping something safe and secure. Psalm 55, verse 22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Hallelujah. Always keep God in the forefront, folks. He is the one that will guard and protect you. Brothers and sisters, each of us must live learn to live one day at a time.
Amen.
One day at a time. Matthew 6:34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Be careful not to grieve over the past or worry over the future. Just take today to day. It's good to plan, but don't focus too much attention on the future. And with your planning, always remember to include God.
Amen.
It's so easy to make a plan and exclude God. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I need to go. Finally, stay busy for God. Engage in purposeful work for the Lord or for others. Then you won't have time to worry. A wise man once said he didn't have time to worry because he was too busy during the day and too sleepy at night. When our minds and hands are occupied, chances are we won't be worrying. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle minds also. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom, and God will take care of us. If God has promised to provide for his children, defend us, and bless us, then there's no need to worry or stress or be anxious. God's got it all under control. He's got it all under control. Mark Twain said, I'm an old man, and I've never known great many troubles, and I've known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. Don't worry about yesterday's mess. Don't worry about yesterday's success. And don't worry about yesterday's distress. Let me say that again for you. Don't worry about yesterday's mess. Don't worry about yesterday's success. And don't worry about yesterday's distress. If you're living in defeat, so stressed that you stay burdened by the cares of this world, then you are living beneath the means with which you have been empowered. I want to remind you, precious people, don't worry. Amen. Jesus is in the boat with you. Amen. Jesus has empowered you. Jesus has given you authority. Jesus has made you an overcomer. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. God will give you peace in the midst of your storm. God will give you peace, Dahlia, in the midst of your storm. God will give you peace in the midst of your storm. Who's facing a storm in here this morning? You know, everything God has in His Word is for our good. It's for our good. It's not there to hinder us. It's not there to put us over the edge. It's not there to hurt us in any way. It's for our good. And He says, be anxious for nothing. Now, that's hard to do in your natural self. But we don't live in our natural self. We live empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that brought our brother from Africa to find this little church. It's the same Spirit that heals bodies. It's the same Spirit that will set you free when you're in trouble. It's the same Spirit that will stop the devil from coming after you. I'm so glad that we have the Spirit of God. You know, I was talking with somebody, I don't know, remember who it was, but we're talking about how, it might have been Harold, talking about Jesus was this one man. Everywhere He went, He did miracles. But then when He went to heaven, He sent the Spirit so that we could all do the same thing. And He even testified, He said, greater works than these you do. Amen. Greater works. So you can think of us, if you were up above looking down, there's a whole bunch of little Jesuses going all over this world. Amen. Substations everywhere, churches, you bet. Hallelujah. Look like ants from above. Jesus was one man. But let me tell you, if you get down from a trial, if you get down because of a problem in your life, then you won't be doing the works of Jesus. Right. You'll be doing your works trying to get out from under it. Yeah. And you'll fail. Mm-hmm. All of you that raised your hand, raise them again. I'm going to pray. Y'all are overcomers. Jesus is in the boat with you. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you told me to preach this message. There's a lot of people in here that have problems they're looking at. They're facing. This little bit of church, look at the problems, Lord. Look at the problems. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy burden, heavy laden. Come to me. What I just told you, he's already there because he's in the boat, folks. All you got to do is communicate with him. All you got to do is pray to him. He's got an answer for every situation that's in this room right now. He has a solution for you. He has a way. He's the way maker. He has a decision to tell you about that will take you out of this thing and bring you back to being an overcomer. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Guess what? He loves you. Guess what? You're his kids. Guess what? The Bible says you're even a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Would the devil ever bring that attack on Jesus? He'd sign a death warrant if he did, didn't he? He tried to hang him on the cross. Jesus, he just said, Father, forgive him. Forgive him. Makes no difference to me. Forgive him, Father. This problem on this cross, don't make a problem for me. I could call 10,000 angels down here. That's right. He had to complete his work so that the problems of this world don't bother us. Hallelujah. God is so good, folks, all the time. And he loves you with a love that we can't even fathom. We just don't even understand his love. We don't understand heaven, and we don't understand his love. Father, I just want to thank you for this morning. Every part of it, Lord. I'm blessed. These people here are blessed. We're not here to play church. We're here to get out from under the circumstances and into the boat with you, Lord. Jesus said, peace be still, and suddenly the sea stilled. I like that word, suddenly. Suddenly, he'll change your situation. Suddenly, it'll look different. Suddenly, you'll see a way out, a way he's designed for you to be an overcomer. Suddenly, Lord, every arm that was raised, Lord, I ask you to break the bondage of that problem and release your Holy Spirit to reveal an answer. But Brother Jerry, you don't understand. I need money. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's just the beginning. He owns the hills too. Money can come to you in the mailbox. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together, folks. Lord, every person in here to leave different than they came. Thank you for the beautiful weather today. What a blessing. What a blessing it is. Thank you for your Spirit moving around this house. Thank you for teaching us, Lord. Some of us probably feel like we went to the woodshed today. God chastens those he loves. And all that means is trust him. Follow him. Let him lead you. Thank you, mighty God. Lord, I've done what you asked me to do. Take these simple words, Lord, and work in every heart. I rebuke the problems. We send them to the pits of hell. And we give glory to Jesus for taking us out of those things.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hug some necks, shake some hands.